This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Gior. Today I'm speaking with John George. How are you?
I'm really good, thanks.
John, how are you involved with digital asset management?
Guess I'm right in the heart of it. I spend my days well working between business and the users and IT to keep our program running efficiently, making sure that images, I work mostly with photographs that are used for marketing, make sure that those are easy to use and clearly labeled with information about usage and that they're up to date and, you know, nothing that's expired is available, and managing the user base to make sure that they all have permissions to the right images, the images they're supposed to have access to.
And how does a cruise line company use digital asset management?
Well, as I mentioned, it's all marketing photographs. So 25,000 images of beautiful people in beautiful places, and then a few of cruise ships as well. It's used by the graphic design department. I actually sit in the graphic design department, so I'm sitting with a good deal of the users. The PR department has access, other people in marketing, and then some of the outside vendors also have access to all these images, and they're used for the website and for any number of print materials, direct mail pieces, catalogs. Onboard ships, we have images of shore excursions that people, the staff on the ships, actually share with the passengers to try to entice them to jump on or jump off the ship at the right spot and go enjoy the culture of the country that they're visiting there.
So they're shared internally with the groups that need to see them.
That's correct.
Excellent.
Yeah, and different groups have access to different groups of images. So that's one of the fun challenges of the whole thing. We separate the images basically by folders, and then we have permissions to each of those folders. So the PR department has kind of their own little folder that only they have access to. And then the marketing department has access to a whole other slew of images that are more about lifestyle and branding for the company.
And what are the biggest challenges and successes with digital asset management?
I'll start with successes. I've been at the company for just over a year now, and when I came in, we were migrating to a new software system. Mm-hmm. So we were on kind of a homegrown asset management system, and we moved to MediaBin last year, which is an autonomous, well, MediaBin's been through about five owners. I think it was Virage and Interwoven and then Autonomy. And now it's an HP company. Service is improving with HP. But it took them, they had been into the project of migrating for at least a year when I came on board. So there was a lot of challenges that we'd had with the metadata and getting that migrated and set up correctly and getting the images moved over. And understanding how to get, well, some of the tasks like the downloading tasks and the ways that this system translates the images. I mean, you can put in a PSD file and then you can download it as a TIFF, mm-hmm. but you have to set up the tasks mm-hmm. in specific ways so that gets done correctly, or right. you lose information. For instance, I downloaded a PSD as a TIFF the other day, and the ship that's in the middle of the picture is missing. There's just a white spot there. I found out that was due to the way that it was uploaded, that PSD files have to be uploaded with a certain kind of something has to be enabled. Maximum compatibility has to be enabled. So it's a little tiny checkbox about three menus deep and you're in Photoshop. If it isn't enabled, then you can't convert it to a TIFF correctly. So now I've got about 3,000 PSDs that I need to check and see if they have maximum compatibility or not. So that's going to be fun. That's going to be one of my challenges. But really, going back to what the success was, it was really just getting MediaBin running and making it user-friendly, making it easy for people to search for things and to filter things and making search as intuitive as possible. That's been a lot of fun. The challenges, I kind of think of it as three parts of educating people. And one of them, part of that is just the technical aspects of the program, because MediaBin's kind of quirky. Like, there's a two-stage download. So you hit the download button, and it actually sends it to another server, and then you have to download it again onto your hard drive, which isn't totally uncommon, but users don't pick that up right away. So, you know, you have to walk them through and teach them those kinds of things. And also, we use Internet Explorer 8 at our company to, well, just system-wide, and that happens to be one that has the most bugs with MediaBin. So people are always having problems with different bands not showing up. And I have to go in and teach them, well, you just got to log out and log back in. Simple things, but still it's one of the kind of day-to-day challenges of working with MediaBin and being a digital asset manager. And then search strategies, because in this day and age, everybody really expects every search to work as smoothly and quickly as Google does. That's not the case. That somebody was looking for panoramas, big wide pictures, and they used the word vista to search for it. And okay, if you had a big search synonym ring, that would work okay. But one of the challenges we have there is that we have a whole class of ship called Vista class. So if somebody's looking for Vista, it's going to return all the Vista class ships and not pretty landscape shots. So that gets frustrating to people, and you have to, you know, show them some of the ways around it and how the keywords are going to work best for them. It's a pretty small space. I have about 250, it's probably growing to 300 or so now. So it's not unwieldy to try to teach people how to use the keywords and what keywords work best in that situation. And then I guess the third biggest challenge I've come up with, and it's really kind of a growing challenge, is just the legal aspects of all the images, and how we're allowed to use them, because we've got models in the pictures and we have photographers' rights, and those things all affect how and where we can use images. So we have some images that we can use worldwide, and some images we can only use in North America, and some we can use only in print, and some online. And online now takes new meaning, because they want to control how they're used on social media and not just like on our website or in ads. So that world keeps evolving, and you have to keep up with some of the changes with that too. And then be able to share those changes effectively with the user so that they are using the images correctly.
A lot of challenges.
Yeah. Keeps things fun.
Definitely. And what advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
My main advice would be to be creative, be flexible, and be aggressive. I never expected to be working for a cruise ship company as a digital asset manager. I went to school to do this kind of work. Librarianship is in my blood. My mom was a children's librarian, and my sister's a children's librarian, both in Walla Walla, Washington. I'm more onto the digital side, of course, obviously, but I, you know, been more to work in academia with special collections in a public library, something more humanities-based resources than marketing. But this has been a great opportunity. I finished school just as I was offered this job, so it's a great first step and a great amount of experience. But you know, I had to take the flexibility and say, hey, okay, I can go work in a corporate environment instead of the nonprofit world, because I'm going to be doing exactly what I want to be doing. But then beyond that, and this is stuff I'm sure everyone's heard 100 times, once you're in the company, you still kind of have to fight every day to justify your place. That, you know, people don't understand how librarianship fits into managing a photo database, and why you need to understand what the value is of having a good metadata schema so that people can find the cities and the states and the countries that pictures are taken in. That just is all second nature, and people think it just happens. You know, the users all think that. Why can't we just do that? Because there's a lot of background information that has to happen, and the users aren't just the people typing in keywords. It's the business side who want those things to just happen by magic. So teach them, not only is your job tougher than they think, but they can benefit by using digital asset management, at least the theories, to work for their day-to-day challenges, whether it's, you know, managing where they store their documents, or if they have their own kind of assets, images or videos or audio files, what have you, that they need to be more ordered with than they are, and make them easier to find.
Well, thanks, John.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity.
For more on this and other digital asset management topics, log on to anotherdamblog.com. Another DAM podcast is available on Audioboo and iTunes. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email me at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. Thanks again.